The stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk. King of the world, you can call me king.
You know, you could call me king of the world. I prefer Eric, but, you know, to each their own. You make your decision as is. Welcome into another episode of Armchair Sports Talk. As always, I am the aforementioned king of the world, Eric Dorsch. Justin, just Mr. King is fine from you. I'll take that.
Okay, as long as you call me commissioner of the world. I mean,
commissioner of the
we're
world.
We're splitting hairs here.
Yeah, we really are. And the stat man, Russ Ivanek, can figure out how many hairs we actually split in all that. Rusty, welcome to the show again today, buddy.
I'm not calling you Mr. King.
No.
For the record.
You can call me Eric.
That, like, Mr. Doctor Strange thing going on?
Yeah,
I can't do it?
Yeah. That's okay. That's okay. No one will ever call you the commish, Jay, but you can keep going with it. That's your choice. How you guys doing good today? Another great episode. Should be a lot of fun. I got plenty of things to talk about. Let's lead it off with the biggest of them all. Patrick Mahomes. Well, Kansas City decided he's worth $500 million over the next decade. Russ and I, before the show, we looked into what's guaranteed and what's not, so we'll get into it. But, Jay, I want to lead it off asking you the same thing I brought up to Russ before we started the show. If you're 24, you're arguably the best player at your position in what you do, whether it's hockey, basketball, whatever. Do you really want to lock yourself into a team for the next decade, not knowing that it could go up, down, or stay the same?
Yeah, because I imagine so far already being an MVP and winning a Super Bowl, he did it. Like, he can keep doing it, and if he's going to keep doing it for a team and get paid a shit ton of money and he's content, yeah. I mean, after that, like, it's just money. Like, that's all he's getting now. So, I would.
Yeah, see, I just, I don't know. It's the weird thought in me. I get the money. Believe me, I get the money. It's just that thing of, you could sign this contract and 2-3 years from now, you don't think Kansas City's going to drop off the map like that, but you never know. We've seen it before. This team could go right to the bottom, and then you've literally signed yourself up for 7 years of just getting driven into the dirt. For $45 million a year, so there's an upside to it. But like Russ, like you were saying, you went through and actually looked at what's guaranteed here. So I guess before we go any further, let's talk about that.
Okay, so $63 million guaranteed at signing. $141 million of it is guaranteed, quote, in the case of catastrophic injury.
So there's my cover.
If he gets a Joe Theismann, he walks away with $141 million. Cool. So he's going to be okay either way. But, I mean, the important thing with this is a lot of the $503 million number gets reported. That's not what it is. He already had 2 years left,
yeah.
Right? This is a 10-year, $450 million extension, mm-hmm. Right? His 2 years plus some possible incentives, which are win the MVP literally every year, that's the incentive, can get it up to $503 million. I know I'm splitting hairs on $50 million on $500 million. The scope's not escaping me here, but it's not quite that much. It does make it the biggest contract in sports, though. Would you rather have Mahomes for 12 years or Mike Trout for 12 years at $426.5 million? That's the scope of things we're working with here.
Well, I think I can answer that one, though. I really can. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is, as far as you want to argue it, and it leads into my follow-up question, too, he's the best quarterback in the league right now. If you're going to say, hey, build me a quarterback, I don't know there are too many GMs that aren't just going to build Patrick Mahomes. Maybe make him a little taller, but not that he's short, but make him a little bit bigger framed guy. But still, you're going to build Patrick Mahomes for the most part. So, but I, if I'm answering that question, I take Trout.
Ooh.
But see, I take Trout because outside of Brady and a couple other people, past 34, 35, you're not getting a lot. In baseball, you can play a little bit longer. You may not play to that high of a level, but baseball, you can play a little longer. So you're getting a little bit more of a guaranteed return on your money. And I just personally think I'd go with Trout. You can't go wrong with either. They're both the best players at what they do. Arguably. I think everybody can make a statement for it. But yeah, I think I'd take Trout.
So before I disagree with Eric, Justin, did you have an opinion on that?
I mean, I eat chicken for lunch every day of the week. I'm not a big fish fan, so I would not go the way of Trout. I would really lean towards Patrick Mahomes more. I mean, I'm trying to blend it in, man. That was my segue.
That's so his name was like Mike Turkey, then you might take him.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. I would go the way of Mahomes. I'm on record saying I wanted Tua. I wanted that restart. Kansas City has that restart. They've got that guy they're going to lock and marry into for many years, for better or for worse. They hitched their wagon to him, and I'd rather do it that way. I mean, baseball, you could be a DH and you're just fine. You don't have to field. You can just be this guy that just does these things like Cabrera did for a couple of years when he was hurt. I would rather have Mahomes. He's more of a weapon for your team.
Yeah, I think kind of the point you're making there that Eric originally made that, yeah, at the end of this contract, it looks a lot better. It can look a lot better for Trout because he's likely going to age better just by the nature of the sport.
Yep.
But for every year up until then, I can hand the most money in sports over to the guy who is going to have 4 to 5 at-bats and hopefully get like 6 balls hit to him out in the outfield. Or I can pay all that money to a guy who's going to touch the ball every single time my offense has the ball. Half the snaps in the game. I'm going to try and go with this guy who's it's like 20% of the cap. Cool. It could be 30% of the cap because he's like 70% of the production on the team because that defense is garbage anyways. But all right. I'd rather pay for the higher impact guy.
Now, let me ask you something, and I get this isn't as close a comparison, but it's probably as close as you can get in the game of baseball. If we were talking this kind of deal with, say, like a Verlander or a Clayton Kershaw or something like that, a little bit more of a reasonable thing, because you are handing this guy theoretically the ball for an entire game if they can, you know, every 5 days.
Right. It's much more comparable, and I probably feel more comfortable doing that now than I would have 10 years ago because, hey, Tommy John surgery has gotten a lot better.
It has.
They're more comparable in the point I was trying to make, so I see you there, and probably yes, to answer your question. I just worry more about a quarterback just blowing out their arm because the human body isn't made to throw a ball overhand.
Yeah.
And I mean, how many times have we seen that go south? Joel Zamaya, guitar hero. Like, who knows?
Hey, David Price, too. So David Price with, what was it? What's that game?
Fortnite?
Fortnite. Playing Fortnite at the stadium. So, listen, I think if you had started this show telling you this topic and you would have said the guy who actually played quarterback would go against the quarterback.
I know, right?
A little perplexing, but still. But it kind of tailors into my question that I wanted to ask both of you. Whether it's Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or hell, even Joe Montana, is there really a quarterback that you can honestly look dead in the face and say, that guy is worth $50 million every year, no questions asked? Jay, I'll let you go here.
Cam Newton. No.
Cam Newton. I'm just happy he's back. Big Newton. Isaac Newton. Give him the bag.
There you go.
I mean,
you're the commish. You're the GM. Every time we go into a front office scenario here, we let you be the guy that kind of leads it off. So I'm asking you, as our commish, as our GM, is there a guy you can think of? And I mentioned all the big names that you can arguably put in that scenario that you can say, I'm comfortable knowing that for the next 10 years, I'm handing $500 million in theory, if everything goes the way it should, to you and saying, you're the guy. We have no fear whatsoever. You stay healthy. That money's going to keep getting into the bank account every week.
Well, I'm going to probably take the answer you're going to give because you've turned me on to him and you've proven me year over year over year that he's that consistent. It's Drew Brees. Tom Brady's going to have a down year. Aaron Rodgers has already had his down years and he's been injured. Brees has been consistent. So Brees would be that guy. And I even question if Mahomes is going to be to that caliber. He's only been around for 3 years. He's still very young in the league. He's got a lot more hits to absorb yet. So, but Brees would be my man. I'd hand him that money.
Okay.
And a certificate on the field.
Mm-hmm. Rusty.
A certificate on the field.
Like, that happened.
Well played.
So the short answer is yeah. A guy like Russell Wilson, a guy like Drew Brees, a guy like Mahomes, I think if you are a legit top five quarterback and you're expected to be for the next like year or two, you know, it's not just a flash in the pan, it is almost impossible to overpay those guys. It's a $200 million cap, and rookies are making dirt cheap, nothing. Look what happened when Tyreek Hill went out. Patrick Mahomes fed everybody else, and it still worked because mm-hmm. that's all you really need if you have one of the top-end guys. So, yeah, give him $50 million. Give him $60 million. You're still going to be fine if he is who he's supposed to be. I'm 100% okay with it.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that is stemming from Jay mentioned Breeze, Brady Manning. I put those are three guys mm-hmm. that proved we can be elite level, and we don't need to just be a 1-2 punch with one receiver. We can throw to everybody. You're going to have a harder time getting us. So Mahomes and Russell Wilson, definitely another guy that needs to be in that consideration, kind of put that. Actually, Jay, Drew Brees didn't make that little list when I wrote it together, but Brees was the first guy I thought about. But I agree. I think it's easier to say Brees, Manning, Brady, because we know what we got. We already know what we got out of them. There's no question mark in front of them. Maybe Brady this year in Tampa Bay, but everybody else, there's no question mark. You look at guys like Russell Wilson, who I still maintain, put the shoes on, let's go play right now, is the best quarterback in the NFL. I just think he really is the best quarterback in the NFL. He would be a guy, yes, I would. And Mahomes has proven he can do it. I think another year or two would have really solidified it, but hey, you win a Super Bowl, that kind of helps get to the top. So I will say yeah, there are guys, but it's, what's that?
I said, yeah, that might help.
That might help. That might help. So we'll see what happens from there. Go ahead, Jay.
One thing I'm still stuck on, literally, like I'm not being facetious or whatever. He has to win the MVP every year. I heard the Maxton Talbot thing. I don't appreciate that. That's why I did it. But you said one of his performance bonuses, he has to win the MVP every year. Like, that's not reasonable. Like, that's bullshit.
But that's
like,
just
be perfect every day of your life. Come on.
Yeah, but see that one's more just you know, good luck with it. You're already getting enough money that mm-hmm. like if you don't make the MVP every year, it is what it is. Because we have a lot to talk about, I had two more, but I'm just gonna roll them both into one kind of longer question and let you kind of touch on both. So Russ, I'm gonna let you go first here. The second part of this question I heard on you know Twitter or something the other day when this contract got announced. First part of it is, do you think this happening, and obviously this is a little more common in baseball and all that, but do you think this happening in the NFL is going to stem that we're going to start seeing these quote-unquote career contracts more often in sports? And two, is there anyone in Detroit right now that you'd give a 10-plus year contract to?
Oh, shit.
So I'll get the first one out of the way because that one's easy. The NFL is a copycat league. Yeah. Always has been, always going to be. Oh. So, yes. I think it's more likely that we get some of them. Lamar Jackson, come on down.
It's happening. It's going
to
happen.
That's who I'd peg to be the next one. Hey, maybe Tua, if the Lions draft him, right, Jay? Right, Jay? but in current Detroit sports, no, the landscape is so god-awful. It's so off. Like, I forget the exact stat. I did all the work, but I forget it. It's like the second time in history that all four teams have had less than a 0.3 win percentage,
yeah.
Right? Like, this is one of the worst stretches we've ever been. No, I don't want to give anyone a 5-year contract, let alone a 10-year contract. We're bad. Get the bad guys out of here.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. That's fine, Jay.
I can see from a planning standpoint and a cash flow standpoint, locking someone in, locking in 20-30% of your figures for that long, that just helps you figure out all the other pieces when you're signing guys and you're drafting guys. So I kind of like that aspect. It's a known commodity for 10-plus years, so I hope the NFL keeps doing it. In terms of us, no. I mean, Luke Kennard.
Oh, I thought he was going to say Glenn Denning. I really
did. I know, he says Luke.
Really, I heard Luke. I thought Glenn Denning was coming. I really did.
No, I was going with my new love, NBA. I don't see who you could give that to right now, and nor would I want that type of stability. Do you want to be stable at being bad? That's not fun. Be liquid. Be able to do what you want. I wouldn't hand it out to anyone in Detroit.
Yeah, I I agree exactly with Russ. I jotted it down too. The NFL is a copycat league. You're going to see it. Lamar Jackson, I think, is going to be on that. The thing is, I think if Baltimore's smart, they need two more years out of Lamar Jackson just to make sure he doesn't get blown up on one of these plays. And we almost sort of have like an RG3 scenario where you can't really question if he can run the way he used to. But if he can stay healthy and keep doing what he's doing, it's a no-brainer to give him that kind of contract. As for in Detroit, I could only come up with two names, but both the names are reaches at best. One is Dylan Larkin. Let's be honest; he's the best player on the.
I don't hate it.
He's the best player on the Red Wings. He's what we assume is going to be the next captain, the next guy we want to build around. That was one, but that's an obvious one. The only other one, and I think it's just because from day one I have jumped on the hype train of this guy, and I haven't backed down yet. But I know Russ; he's going to tell me how insane it is to give that long of a contract to him, Kenny Golladay.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
A 10-year deal on a wide receiver, I get, is a bit of a stretch. I understand that. But I think Kenny Golladay is, hands down, he's the best receiver we have, but I think he's also rapidly climbing into a guy who's going to be a real big playmaker in the NFL in general, that eventually he's going to be in that conversation with these guys. I don't think he'll ever be the best receiver in the league like Calvin was, but he can definitely stretch it out a little bit. Jay.
I would do it if you'd get Trevor Lawrence to sign off on that. If Trevor's okay with it, I think then if those two are going to be put together, I'm already ready for that draft. And if he, you know, just saying.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rusty.
Just a bit of context. Calvin played 9 seasons. So a 10-year contract for Kenny Golladay would likely take him to the twilight of his career. And signing him now when he's looking for his big payday, you're going to be paying through the teeth through the end of that. And that's what scares me about it. I'm afraid he takes an early, you know, Golladay holiday and retires, you know, after a 10-year NFL career, which is a long NFL career.
Absolutely.
But you're still on the hook.
Well, but then that's why I said the second one was a lot more of a stretch. But if we're talking about the talent in the town that we are allowed to work with, obviously young draft picks like Mize and Torkelson, we need to see a little bit more. More established talent like Miggy. Miggy's not playing another 10 years. We're not giving Blake Griffin more money. We're not, like, there are certain guys. Stafford more than likely doesn't have another 10 years in him. So there's certain guys. Shut up, Jay. There's certain guys. So you have to kind of look at the young people. And honestly, the only other guy I would have put on that list would have been Kerryon, but he can't stay healthy to where I feel comfortable giving him that much time. Even if
don't
he was
give a 5-year contract to a running back, please.
No, that's what I'm saying though. Like even like he has the talent, but the health issues are so glaringly obvious that you just have to kind of be like, I don't know that I'd want to risk the 5-year. Exactly. I agree. 100% agree. So what we got out of that is that Jay just wants to
pay that man his money
and just make sure Mahomes gets his cash flow. That's all there is to it. This next topic, it's a little bit of a knuckleball because we don't know where it's going to go, but I'm just going to kind of put it up there for you guys, and then I'm going to let you two go because over the last couple days, you two have been discussing it a lot more than I have. I was thinking about this in my head. The seasons are going to resume here pretty soon. But
why is that a phrase that we use in this podcast so often? Where else would you think?
Sometimes I think out of my ass.
Yeah. I talk out of my ass a lot, but I don't think out of there a lot.
Touche.
thinking about it, and the thing is, the seasons are going to resume. It's going to be abbreviated, but even if they're abbreviated, we're still looking at them, at some of these sports having to take another 7-8 month break before they go again. So I'm a little curious, are we maybe going to see two sort of abbreviated seasons to get back to normal scheduling? That way these teams don't miss out on half the year of revenue that they've already missed out on this year, Russ.
Yeah, I think if they're dead set on having this season and having next season as close to normal as they can, then yeah, the only way through is to do like what baseball is doing right now and saying, hey, we were pushed out 4 months. Our season takes 6 months. So we're going to cram 60 games in 66 days. That'll put us even. We're back on track.
Yeah.
Which is lunacy. No way. That is one small misstep in a global pandemic away from completely falling apart, and your timeline is screwed. And to your point, we then have to do two compressed seasons in a row to make this work. NBA was pushed 3 months, NHL was pushed 3 months, NFL stubbornly was pushed like 2 weeks, right? So we're talking about, for at least the NBA and the NHL, half of their season's worth of time was pushed out. So yeah, we'll have to compress it, unless two things. The one, the obvious one, is we cancel the current season, yeah. Right? Hey, be safe. It's a global pandemic again. Two, and this is the one I want to pitch to you guys, we get a new normal. We don't try and start normal the next season. We start staggered. NBA starts on Christmas. Already one of the biggest early season dates.
Yep.
Right? They share a lot of the stadiums with the NHL, and yet all these scheduling conflicts come up because their seasons overlap from beginning to end. Stagger them. Right? Start the NBA later. Maybe you start the NHL earlier. I don't know. I'd have to look at it more in depth. But you remove some of the stadium conflicts. You spread out when we get to watch sports more. We're about to learn a whole lot about how people will watch sports in non-traditional times. I think this has a real way of actually getting us back and back to improving things.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jay, I want you to answer this, but I want to, before I do that, Russ, you kind of jumped into a weird way of starting up the question I wanted to ask next. So
a question in a question.
William, so I'm gonna let Jay give Russ your answer. But Russ, I want to give you this, and I want to have you think on it for a second while Jay's answering. Could we potentially see, depending on how this goes, leagues looking to rework schedules for future seasons because of how well it worked and went for them? So Jay, go ahead real quick.
So many questions. I have so many.
Well, you don't have to answer mine right now. I want that. I'm leaving that for Russ to kind of. Because he kind of had the same idea I did. I want to see what he thinks about it.
So going back to the first one, the two abbreviated back-to-back seasons, yeah, like we were texting earlier in the week and it struck me because I know the hockey schedule down pack. Mm-hmm. Like it's everything is just fucking everything. It's dumb, and I don't like it, and it's probably going to happen, but I love the fact that Russ is offering up a potential solution out of all this, is unraveling our norm, because our norm is disgusting. I don't like it. I hate that there's a period where it's just basketball, or it's just baseball that's on TV, and there's nothing else rivaling it. And then you have NBA and NHL that happen, and then the NFL takes over in their time. I don't like the fact that we are going to try to make money now to then have to come up with a whole other system for the following year, and then maybe not get back to normal for two more years. And it doesn't make sense to me to do it. I'd rather watch it all shut down, to be honest. And just have, hopefully, a normal start to the year at the end of this year if we do get another normal. But wrapping back around to what Russ brought up, which was your question, Eric, I kind of like the idea of having new normals, of relooking at everything. And you know how it's going to happen? Money. If it is profitable for these leagues to say, hey, you go over here, we'll go over here, maybe we overlap for a hot minute at the end and the start of 2 years, it's all about maximizing TV contracts, and I would love to see it happen.
Yeah,
but I think it's not proportionate right now.
I think the easy answer is, if they weren't all a bunch of money grubbers, just sit out the year, and we'll start fresh in 2021, and it'd be the easiest solution, because give this more time for this to not spread, which you're doing in Orlando, and now with the other bubble in Chicago for the losers bracket. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. And 60 games in 66 days, just inject them with it and just leave them all in a hotel is basically what you're saying. It's ridiculous. But Jay, to your point, I personally think what we grew up knowing as the sports schedule is going to change probably. Because if you think about it.
That's crazy.
Well, if you think about it, NBA and NHL, they play indoors, so they can play whenever the heck they want. They don't need to be on certain time. Major League Baseball is really the only one, because it's outdoors, that you have to worry about. Because with the NFL, most of these NFL stadiums are getting built into domes anyway, because all these owners want multiple revenues, so they want concert venues and all that. You still have the few that, yeah, they're going to be outdoors. And on the West Coast, you can have outdoor stadiums year-round. It's not a big deal. So if you think about it, three of the four sports can play whenever the heck they want. It's really just baseball they'd have to do some configuring for, and baseball doesn't have to change because, as we've all seen growing up, it's such a long season that it's 9 months of the year anyway. Just leave it as is. But NFL, NBA, and what am I blanking on? NFL, NBA, and NHL, they can all do it whenever they want. They can go whenever they want. So I honestly think, Russ, after this is done, whether it's one abbreviated season or two to get back to normal, you're going to see these owners, the commissioners, look at it and go, you know, we could get away with just starting now and doing a new norm. The weather doesn't contribute to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the more scientific advances we get, the easier and easier that is, the more barriers that fall. But, I mean, to that point, we're about to learn. Will people watch hockey in July and August? It's everything that our friends to the north have been shouting cannot work. We're about to find out. We're also about to find out something else that everyone else has been trying to avoid. Every other league is, can you compete with the start of the NFL season? Right? The NBA and the NHL have avoided it like the plague. They're pushing out their seasons later and later to avoid this. Now we have no chance of avoiding it. We're going to see it. And whichever one can compete, start that one earlier. Whatever one doesn't, push it later. Split those off. Let's get a new normal. Let's spread out this shit. Like we should be spreading out people.
Go ahead, Jay, because I want to follow up on that too.
Well, just to speak to the hockey schedule, I think today it came out that they're thinking about putting the games at 12-3-6.
I love it.
Who loves themselves a quick little, I need a 15-minute break for my job, and you flick over and whatever streaming you got, you watch. Oh. And summertime hockey should be a thing. So if we can be the summer league of, like, put our league in the summer, I'll be happy.
Russ, right. The thing I want to say to you, though, because you asked who can compete with the start of the NFL season. The issue I have is I just think the numbers they're going to get early on are going to be massively distorted because you're going to have everything coming back at once. People who don't like hockey, people who don't like basketball are going to be watching just because it's live sports that we haven't had in so long that I think it could be great. It's going to be great, but the problem is you're going to see leagues look and go, oh, well, yeah, we can compete with them. You can't compete with them. You just happen to come back at the perfect time that people needed sports is kind of my perception of that.
Compete was probably the wrong word, here in America.
Yeah,
you
definitely didn't use the wrong word there. I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, I think leagues are going to have an overinflated sense of, oh, wow, maybe we are a little more relevant. And then it's going to be like, no, you just came back right when everybody needed sports the most.
Right. But at the same time, all the sports are here. Yes. So you're walking up to a buffet, and it's like, are people still ordering the shrimp? And if they are, like, oh, maybe you can survive. And yeah, now that I'm going back over, compete was definitely the wrong word.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Survive. Like, and if you can, do it.
Absolutely.
It just makes so much more sense logistically and from a viewership standpoint.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Go ahead, Jay.
You know who else would like it too? The FanDuels and the other gambling sites of the world.
Year-round.
You have a consistent, because there's a time, I do FanDuel, that's a bad thing. When I do it, there's a time where it's like just baseball, and then there's like NASCAR or Formula One. I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Well,
if you have sports on a timeline, I'll be pressing that button all day long.
We've seen that for the last couple of years, though, doing this show. We for 6-7 months out of the year, we have a packed show. We can't even get to everything. But then you hit that summer kind of time, and it's really where we really have to, like, we're scratching our heads a little bit to try to stay as, you know, into the sports as we can without reaching out to obscure things. So I being able to space it out where there's really no break, it would be amazing. It really would. All right, so I have an opinion on this, but unfortunately these two are far wiser than I am on it. Jay sent us this tweet yesterday. I want to just bring it up, and I want to let you two go. Jay kind of flirted with another 60 seconds of salt, but not from Sergeant Salty.
Oh.
NFL looking for a 35% pay cut. Devin Bush tweeted this out the other day. Russ, if you're the players, is sitting down and just saying, okay, screw you, is that now a viable option with everything going on?
100%. If the owners say, hey, we need 35% of your pay, you say, you can have 35% of my whole asshole. That's what you say. That's ridiculous. You know what they've cut so far? They've cut preseason games, which most of their moneymakers don't play in most of them.
Absolutely.
And those games don't even make a quarter of what a regular season game does. So your revenue in the NFL hasn't really been hit yet. Mm-mm. And even if it is, I'm going to side with the millionaire over the billionaire on whose money woes really matter. But 35% to 55-plus players on every team, get out of here. You want to cut half the season? Maybe we can start about that talking, but we're not there. You're cutting the games no one watches and no one pays for anyways. The games that they already criminally bake into season tickets, that the season ticket holders have to pay for these already, and nobody fucking goes to them. Nobody cares about these games. You can't give away these tickets. Go watch Ford Field in the second quarter of any preseason game ever. Load it up. I mean, it's one of the only times that we can say the Lions go undefeated anywhere. But we get to the point that people aren't, you're already not making any money on them. The owners are probably making money by not having those games. So now they're going to try and make more money by taking money away from the players who weren't mostly playing there anyways. Greedy assholes. That's this whole country right now are people that just focus on themselves. Not everyone, obviously.
Not everyone, yeah.
But the powers that be mostly have shown themselves to be people that are focused on themselves and how they can get through thriving through this pandemic. You're not going to unless you look for everybody. So rising tide rises all boats. And that's the only way we're really going to ever get through this fully. 35%.
Yeah, so it only took like three years and a couple months, but
yeah, here we are.
Russ Ivanek, I would like to welcome you to your first ever appearance on... Oh, it didn't work. Let's try that again. Your first appearance on...
60 seconds.
Salt.
Very well done. Jay, I mean, I said I wanted to hear from both of you. I mean, you got anything to add to the quite eloquently done summation of all that?
He did it.
Oh, I'm proud of myself, though.
He did it. And Devin Bush has continued to keep going off, and God bless him for doing that. He said he's an entertainer. He said he's here to do autographs. He said he's here to sign things in jerseys, and he's going to take care and look after himself all day long because he's an entertainer, and they should. 35% is ridiculous, and it is laughable to think that they would get that. Nice try.
Listen, I completely agree with Russ, though, on this. It's that thing of you're hitting these players at a time when everyone's feeling it. I mean, maybe not as much as some of us, but even these players. You know, some of these guys have to depend on that income in some way or another because they aren't $45 million a year players. That you're looking at them and going, okay, so you already make the league minimum. Well, we're going to take that league minimum and we're going to drop it 35%. I don't know about you, but if Mike Wheeler walked in here tomorrow, looked at me and went, I know you're not, you know, exactly thriving. We're going to need 35% of your pay for the next couple months. It's that thing of some of these guys, it's not going to hurt them. Patrick Mahomes, 35% of his, you know, paycheck, he can still afford to buy a small country. But you have these rookies and these veterans who are holding on to backup jobs. It's ludicrous. It really is. But then the other issue is to solve it. You can't look at Mahomes and go, okay, we need 35% from you, but you know, John Smith over here, you only have to give us 10, which is still absurd, but it's that thing of it's time. We've said this multiple times over the last couple of months. It's time for these owners to look and go, listen, you're going to take a hit this year. No way around it. Take the goddamn hit and make yourselves look for once in your lives like the good guys for saying, we understand how it is. Let us do what we can to help so that we can get sports back to what it is. We know you're going to rake everybody over the coals the next couple years to make it back. Everybody's prepared for that. This is a year where you can choose to be a good person for once, Jay.
I think it's cute when you talk about what we're talking about right now, and then you remember when players are on their last year, last 2 years of their deal, and they're afraid to get hurt because they know they'll be dropped like a dead fly off the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But think of that, and then, oh, well, we need your money to be escrowed so we can make our cash flow work. Like, fuck you. You'll get rid of them as soon as they have a broken tibia. But when they're valuable, oh, we need your money in our bank account. We need to hold it.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially after just handing Patrick Mahomes almost $500 million.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of walking up to your mom and going like, hey, can I get like $5 for lunch? And they're like, no, best I can do is $2. And actually, you have to give me a dollar as well. But then they turn to your sibling and it's like, here's a 50, go wild. Like, what? No, that's not how this works.
You know, I would be interested in that. You guys, like I said, you guys have, you know, read a little, probably more, a little more on it than I have. I would be interested to see if that was an across the board decision or just a majority where you have some owners like saying, I don't really want, I'd rather my players get paid. But on the other side, you have guys, I don't know, I'm assuming Jerry Jones, who's just saying, let's cut costs everywhere we can because Jerry World just isn't, you know, doing what it needs to do this year. So it is. It's an absurd and ridiculous thing. And we've heard it across, but we heard it with baseball for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall hearing it for NBA, but it's very possible we did, and I just completely missed it. It's just that thing of you have these guys who I'm used to every year $2 billion just automatically coming into my pocket. This year I'm only going to get 1.5, and I don't like it. And it's
basically
it really is what it is, and it's sad and it's disgusting, but unfortunately it's the way it is because, especially in this time, because they know TV rights right now are, you know, to sell these games are going to be through the roof for the fact that everyone's going to want to watch. NBC, Fox, CBS can literally look at these teams and go, you know how much you paid last year? Yeah, it's going to be like three times that because everyone's going to want to watch. Commercials are probably going to be valued like the Super Bowl during an NFL game just because of what it is. So it's one of those things where you're going to get your money elsewhere. Let's maybe not hit the pockets of the people that you need to play these games. Just a thought, Jay.
Do you think people actually miss Joe Buck?
No, like God, people? It's freaking Joe Buck.
I miss Joe Buck. I'm going to say that. Hi, my name is Justin, and I miss Joe Buck.
Joe Buck's wife doesn't miss Joe Buck, okay?
That was a cry for help.
I miss Joe Buck.
Troy Aikman is loving life right now because he didn't have to sit next to Joe Buck 16 weeks in a year.
There was a Twitter thread going on about, like, explain your favorite sports moment, but as boring as possible.
Yeah, I saw that.
And someone goes, Joe Buck already did. And then I about died.
I'm sorry, guy. I don't know. I know, like, Jay, I know you're kind of a fan for some reason, but I do not like, there's just nothing good about, you know how much I don't like Joe Buck? They had like a show on one of these channels where Joe Buck interviewed like old athletes and all that. It made it a year, and then they replaced him with Dan Patrick just to replace him because it was Joe Buck.
Ooh. But Dan Patrick's like world class.
Yeah,
I
can't,
love that guy.
Dan Patrick's the elite of the elite. So any guy that can tell ESPN to buzz off and still have a very successful career, you're good in my book. Not that I don't like ESPN, but that's just a baller move. Like, hey, Yankees, I don't need your $500 million contract. I'm just going to go do my own thing. And something tells me this is not the last we're going to hear of this. The NFL will fight tooth and nail for every cent they can hold on to.
I can't wait. I cannot wait, man. Yeah.
All right, Jay, so we're moving over to golf. It was a pretty fun week here in Detroit. Got to see some good golf. Bryson DeChambeau wins with a score of, it was 23 under, guys, so we were all a little low on it, two less than the year prior. Wins with a score of 23 under, shooting 7 under on the final day. Runner-up Matt Wolf, who Jay loves his swing, because it's all, you can literally put a pencil on him and he just draws you a beautiful picture. Finished 3 back, shooting 1 under in the fourth round. What I want to ask first is, Jay, after a couple weeks of testing it out and debuting it on other courses, did this win for Bryson just validate his grip it and rip it mentality of golf?
It does, and I love the people who are all like, well, this isn't golf, but it is golf. And, I mean, if you watched him on, I think it was 16, it cost him.
Yeah.
He hooked it to the, he put it to the right, and then he put it into the water, and then he had to drop it, and then he played a reserved approach shot onto the green. He takes those risks that he knows that at some point in time he could screw up, not even hit a fairway, and hope to two putt and hit par. So I have no problem with the way that he played it, but it's risky and it's calculated, and people better get comfy because I don't think Bryson's going anywhere. And this is how he's going to approach the game.
Question is, does he add that extra piece of bacon in his diet to help balance everything out to make up for that? Maybe that extra piece of bacon just gets the putting a little bit better. Yeah, see, Russ is over here saying, you just got to think about it. You got to think about it.
It does. Balances you out.
But, I mean, Russ, you look at a guy like that who he led the tour in driving this week, but he did it at a point where I saw at one point he was like 30-something yards ahead of the next guy in driving. I mean, he came up 20 yards short of par fours. He legitimately was the closest we've seen to Happy Gilmore in a week. It's one of those things where, is this just maybe an odd occurrence of let's see how long he can do it for? Or is this more him saying, okay, here's the new standard. You guys better catch up.
Knowing what I know about him and his approach to the game, this is calculated and this is not going away. This was a very planned move of playing the odds, playing the course of this is the probabilistically, this is the best way to approach this. And that's what he's going to do. And if that's what it is for the next course, that's what he's going to do after that. And I'm anything that makes the old heads angry because of a new approach, I love it. I love it. I'll have an odd number of bacon. That's fine. My 16th Ooh. Bacon can be an angry old white man just in the corner scowling. Love it. I also love the fact that he's both the nerd and the giant jock now.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is happening, but I'm glad he's winning because of it.
Yeah, it's like Timmy got picked in gym class for the first time. It's very, very perplexing. And obviously, during the week, we have conversations about this like crazy, but over the week, actually, over the last couple of years, I've worked extra hard to throw everything I can at Russ to at least get a little semblance of interest in golf. And I know it's a long stretch, but over the weekend, Jay, I think we found it. I think we did. You texted asking about how Matt Wolf putts because he hoods the club a little bit. And in that, we found Russ really enjoys slow-mo golf videos. We sent him a couple, and he really enjoys them. I got to ask Russ, what was it that worked about it?
The physics behind it.
There you go.
I'm a big old nerd.
That degree from Ford. It's that degree from Ford, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're still on that. Paul Rowe also is really looking hard to find a Ford University t-shirt for us. Just for that joke.
You guys started talking about the actual physics behind hitting the ball. And, like, yeah, I can talk that. That's interesting.
There it is. Yeah, there you go. I'm telling you, man, the golfing machine would change your life. All right, moving on. This week, we've been doing it every week because it's the only thing sports-wise we can do. We have the Workday Charity Open, and we put out our best, you know, the best pairings and all that. I went first last week and screwed some people, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let Jay go first. Jay, of those particular pairings that we put out there, who's the one that's standing out that you're going with?
I'm going the trifecta of Wolf, Fowler, and Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed is a very humble father of two, 29-year-old Nike athlete.
Who's a piece
of crap. Just mellow. Hey, you'd be nice
to him. Dating profile?
Yeah, this is nothingbutlunch.com, which is a brand new one that I came across for the senior citizens. Don't try it. I didn't try it. I just heard about it. No, seriously, though, Patrick Reed, he's a Nike athlete, and Nike has not really cashed in with Rory this year. Rory has not. I mean, he had a third best finish, I think. He hasn't cracked the top two. Patrick Reed is younger. He might be a better Nike athlete than Rory McIlroy. Fowler has been reworking his game during quarantine. He's got blisters. He's got Detroit logos all over his shoes when he played the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which is pretty cool. Fowler is trying to reinvent himself, and I want to see if he actually does it because he hasn't won in a long time. And then Matt Wolf, he was my man. He almost won the Rocket Mortgage Classic last weekend. He left way too many putts short. And if he would have actually birdied when DeChambeau was falling apart on 16 and 17, we would have had an interesting finish. So I'm putting my money on Wolf, who came second, Fowler reworking his game, and the very humble Patrick Reed.
Okay. I'm going to go real quick because I know how Russ's mind thinks, and I just don't want to try to make a joke after Russ because it won't work. So, and I actually have a joke in here that I really think's funny that no one else is going to laugh at, and I'm going to enjoy it. I am going with the team, or not the team, the pairing of Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, and Patrick Cantlay. Okay? For the reason of Jordan and Phil, both big-time players, they're both looking to get back in the winner's circle. Muirfield is a course that they've both seen a lot over the years. They want to have success there. So these two, I think, are going to be up there. But in doing so, that means Patrick's going to have to play well. So Patrick can't lay back on this one.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, poor joke. Poor joke. Jay, first time.
You have to legally adopt the child after that dad joke. That's how bad that was.
First time I get to use this on me, Jay.
Why are you the way that you are?
I just think these three are going to have success. Phil and Jordan are both guys who they're seeing everybody else have some success out on tour right now with a limited amount of events. They want to both get back in that winner's circle. This is a course that I think they have a chance to do. But also, for another reason, and we're going to touch on it here in a minute, of why I think they're the right ones to go for this one. So, Russ, real quick, give me your predictions, and then I will follow it up.
Okay, so that was some excellent golf analysis. I understood some of it. I'm sure our listeners did more. Now here's something completely different. So, 4th of July just happened, right? So, some people feeling patriotic. Let's go patriotic with our pick this time. Victor Hovland, Gary Woodland, John Rahm.
One of those people is actually in America.
Yeah. Because, as old Paul Revere said, it's two if by land and one if by Rahm. And that's how we're going to win there. Plus, Rahm, okay, Rombo. Rahm's also never won at this course, so if he wins, you could say it would be first blood.
Oh, my God.
That's two.
The movie reference.
And I'm done.
There you go. All right. So first time I think in a while that we've all picked different pairings. So that's kind of nice. We'll get to have some of that. The reason I said that I kind of wanted that I think that Phil and Jordan are good options here is because I don't know if you guys know this or not. We will be talking about the same golf course next week. They are playing the same course 2 weeks in a row for two different tournaments. They'll be playing the Workday Charity Open this week, and then next week is Jack's usual tournament. I'm blanking on what it's called. I think it's the Memorial.
Arnold Palmer.
No, that's not the Arnold Palmer Invitational. That's Arnold Palmer, Jay, not Jack Nicklaus.
Even I know they're different people.
Yeah. I want to say it's the Memorial, but they were supposed to be separated by a couple weeks, but due to cancellations of things, they're just going to play it back-to-back. So these guys are going to spend 2 weeks in a row at the same place. So, Jay, I was coming to you, so you can say what you want, but here we go. Thoughts on the fact that we are going to see the same course 2 weeks in a row? We're not getting a change of scenery. It's not a new event. It's basically the same course, just different sponsor signs up.
I like it because it's kind of like a home and home, except you don't go anywhere. You just stay home. I got no problems with it. I legit today, when I was doing some research, I legit thought they renamed a very prestigious weekend to the Workday Classic. And I was like, wow, this sucks. I didn't realize we were going to have a home and home. So I'm actually all for it.
Yeah. Jack's tournament is usually called the Memorial. They added this onto it to kind of make it happen. So the Workday Classic. But I mean, Russ, I know, other than if we send you slow motion shots of every single shot this week, which, hey, we can talk about it. We can work it out.
Please not every shot.
Just that thing, though, of we see it all the time in other sports, but it's a weird thing for golf. For 2 weeks in a row, you're going to see the exact same place.
Are we expecting the field to be about the same?
I would assume, because of the bubble, I would assume like whoever's there is there. You may get... The only thing that should change is they have what's called Monday qualifiers for people that don't automatically get in. Someone who went to Canton, went to Michigan State, grew up around here, played in the RMC last week, named Donnie Trosper, went down, shot the lowest round of his career on Monday to get into this tournament. So he'll be playing. So the only people that may get bumped are people who have to re-Monday qualify. So
the friendly guys, anyway.
Yeah, but other than that, like the big names... We will probably see all of them again, just maybe different pairings.
I actually really like this idea, not just because, hey, we're, again, in a global pandemic and keeping everyone in the same spot and getting twice the use out of it is a good move, right? This is, like you said, like a little bubble. So, good move there. The other thing is, I assume the more you play a hole, the more familiar you are with it, the more your talent can show through instead of just little chance here and there. So, I wouldn't hate if they don't do this more often, that it's a minor tournament and then a major tournament, like a week or two later at the same spot, showcase your talent more, reduce some variability, reduce some luck, quote-unquote, risk, and have your best golfers do better, because that's when I hear about golf, is when like Rory and Tiger win shit, not when some guy that the only time I'll ever say his name is when I'm trying to make a pun, right? It can be fun, and you can still have those, but you play the hits for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so now before we move on to the final topic, Jay, my last question for this, and I'll let you go first here. Should we expect to see the same score 2 weeks in a row? It's the same course. In theory, there should be no drop-off or change.
So my question would, to answer that, I have a question.
Okay.
Can a course get ready that quickly after it gets abused for 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're really going to make a lot of changes to it. I think it's going to be, I would assume maybe practice rounds the second week will be a little more limited. They might tell you.
Can grass grow that fast? Like
they can find ways to help it out in some ways. A lot of things that they do, and this is just, they do this for everything, but they'll probably do it for this. They'll move the tee boxes to save landing zones.
Okay.
So if you have a par five where you have pretty much everybody landing in this 50-yard area, they'll move the tee box back or forward depending to change up the landing area so that certain areas will get a little bit of a breather and tee boxes will get a breather, because you're in theory going to have 8 days of people teeing off over and over and over and over again on it. So they'll probably do some shifting in that. But from what I've read, it's a golf course. It's not like you can say, okay, this week's over, let's change everything. You really can't do that. It's ground. It's not.
Right.
So, but yeah, I'm sure there'll be some shifting and changing, but I just think it would be hilarious if you, 1 week we have them finishing, the winners wins at 17 under, and then the following week they barely get to par, and you're seeing guys finishing at 2 or 3 under.
So then, to answer your question then, for golf's sake, I hope it's consistent.
Okay.
I hope it helps to say, hey, we can do this, we should do this, like Russ is saying. Because if you have the hot and you have cold and things are just crazy, then maybe it's not a good idea to do this again. So I hope it's consistent. Because then it probably helps the course not look like idiots that, hey, we're consistently hard to play. Come try.
Absolutely. All right, Russ, answer Jay's question. Can grass grow that fast?
The actual answer is it depends on the type of grass it is and what kind of fertilizer you're using, what kind of soil nutrients exist. I actually read, I have a book, there's an entire chapter based on exactly this question. I remember some of it. The answer is we'll see.
Blabbering with unfactual information, which is confusing the general public.
You tell them, Barry.
Yeah,
well played.
That's Bernie, by the way, not Barry.
It was a joke, the Barry Sanders confusion,
I got you.
It was an elite level joke, I apologize.
All right, so as we wrap up this one, this is kind of our little best of, but it's a little bit of fun to have. And I want to say this right now. I fully expect all of us to at least have the same pick one time on this one. So this past week, a golfer by the name of, Ho Sung Choi, that's what it is, Ho Sung Choi. He's a Korean golfer who kind of came to fame over the last couple of years for his very absurd, crazy swing where he pretty much bounces around as he's hitting it. Well, he was in the lead this past week on a Korean PGA Tour event. And while he did something that I think Jay and I can both very, very much relate with in our golf game, but maybe not a pro golfer, he whiffed, completely missed it. From what I've heard, and I haven't watched it in slow-mo, Rush, you might really enjoy that, I guess his pant leg knocked the ball off the tee. Still counts. Still won. So in that moment, I kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on some of the biggest professional athlete bloopers you've seen where you just kind of looked and go, how did that just happen? So I'm going to lead. We'll bounce around here, but I'm going to lead it off first one, because the first one I have is actually golf related. Jay, I don't know if you remember this, but about 2 years ago at the Masters, Zach Johnson was taking a nice, lovely little practice swing on the tee box, and he hit the ball. And it bounced straight right and hit the tee box and then landed, stayed on the tee box and landed. And he just kind of looked and had that moment of, did that really just happen? Now, luckily for him, it was deemed that practice swings cannot be considered actual hits, so he was able to tee it back up again and do it. But it's one of those moments of you do this, the same routine over and over and over again. How on earth did you just hit the ball taking a little half-ass practice swing? You know what I mean?
He's a dummy.
Yeah.
Because he's a dummy. All right. Because golf is imperfect.
Absolutely. All right, so that was my first one. Jay, what was one of the ones you had?
Well, we're going to come out strong. And you guys, I broke some rules here today, as I normally do. A big mistake, embarrassing, like, oh, God, how'd you do that? How about LeBron James showing off his schwanz during the finals on national TV? Not a good look to show off your ding-dong to the rest of the world. So that's probably a mistake. For some people, maybe it wasn't. But for me, I didn't need to see his penis. So that's my first one.
All right. Rusty, over to you.
My first one, we're going to jump over to one of LeBron's teammates. The other two I have are on the field of play. This one isn't. And it's Kyrie Irving coming out of the flat earther. Dude got sick hands, but he dropped the ball on this one. I don't know how you messed that one up so bad.
Yeah, that one's not great. Not great at all. All right, so staying in the NBA, January 2017, as we saw many, many times over the years, Oklahoma City playing against the Golden State Warriors. Routine play, Russell Westbrook, ball is inbounded to him, starts making his way up the court. Just one little problem. He forgot to start dribbling and proceeded to walk the entire length of the key to the three-point line without ever dribbling. And if you haven't seen this, you have to go watch it because they have it from multiple angles. You can see Steph Curry looking at him going, "What are you doing?" And Russell Westbrook, with a blank face, literally goes, "I don't know." He proceeded to tuck it like a running back and start walking and made it quite a few steps before the ref finally had to go, "All right, come on, that's traveling." Like, we don't call it often, but we have to call it here. So that was one of those ones where if you've ever seen a guy's brain just mentally shut down for 10 seconds, that's what it looked like, Jay.
So speaking of brains shutting down, probably to someone who deserves it, and a lot of people are probably like, "This is what you get, you asshole." Brad Marchand failing to carry the puck on a penalty shot is probably made a lot of people happy when that face licker did that.
Oh, that's
face licker. That was actually my next one as well. It was the first one I thought of when I saw the clip of the golfer missing the drive there. It was almost the exact same situation, and they lost the game on it. That's the best part.
Yeah,
they did it. They're like, "No, see you guys. Go home."
All right. That's a good, I remember that one. That is a good one. This one, we're going way back. We're sitting in high school. We're doing our thing. I broke the rules here. I didn't go to professional sports. I went to college. And ooh, I want to ask you both, we've all seen this play 1,000 times in our life. It's probably one of the biggest football games to ever happen. Who the hell was Reggie Bush pitching that ball to in the national championship against Texas? I need to know. There was nobody there, Reggie. What were you doing? You're not the quarterback. We're not running the option. So, Russ, I have to ask, where was Reggie pitching that frickin' ball?
Probably to whoever it was that gave him all that money.
Yeah, probably.
Had his back everywhere.
Monte.
Else, right?
Like,
souvenir?
Were you about to say Monteteo's girlfriend?
Yeah. That's exactly what I was about to say.
That's fantastic.
Sorry.
Because there's no one there. I get it. That's great.
Oh, yep. That's a joke. Yep.
All right. No, that's a good one. Russ, but Russ, over to you. Mine has to be, where was Reggie pitching that ball?
Oh, man. So my last one is the king of brain farts, whenever this comes up. Because my entire college career, whenever anyone would goof up, me and my roommate at the time would just go, "Oh, I thought he had it, and then he blew it." Because that was the exact play-by-play when one Patrick Stephon, then of the Dallas Stars, came down on an empty net breakaway. Yes, an empty net breakaway with 10 seconds left and his team up one. He didn't score. Not only did he not score and miss the net and immediately turn the puck over, the Oilers then came back the other way and tied the game up with 2 seconds left. Dallas ends up winning the game, but just in a complete ineptitude of being by yourself with no goalie in the NHL, a former number one overall pick, the guy taken before the Sedins, can't put the puck in the net, and in a matter of about 5 seconds get scored on the other way. Oh, it doesn't get dumber. You don't get more embarrassed.
That is a pretty bad one. I'm not going to lie, Jay.
He was not too sharp in that moment. No. That's for damn sure. I'm a dad. I'm allowed to say that. we're going to stick in the NHL. I'm also going to break some rules. And by no means am I an athlete, but I had an embarrassing moment that was about hockey that I'm going to share. Maybe I wasn't. Athlete. We'll talk about that later. It is about me. Not to center it on me, but I'm going to center it on me. I played a hockey game at the JCC. You guys were all in the locker room with me. We left the rink. We got into the locker room, and I was sitting next to my cousin Paul. And he looks over at me and goes, dude, what's wrong? I go, I just really thought we were going to win that game, man. We tried really hard, and that kind of sucked. He goes, Justin, we won the game. I legitimately got into the locker room. I thought we lost. You guys were all having fun. I'm like, fuck, man. Tired. We should have won. And my cousin told me we did. So I had a mental lapse of my own. We won a game when I didn't think we won a game.
Oh, fantastic.
Listen, though. Don't take him at his worst. You got to take him at his best. Because in that same season, Justin made an enemy for life in the JCC by asking a referee if he could take a look at a rule book. Because apparently he didn't know the rules. And subsequently, Justin was not liked by... I don't even remember the guy's name anymore. I know he tried to keep you out of dropping a couple times. Brad?
That's how Brad works the front desk. This is a different story.
Okay.
He was tall, bald. He was a dick.
Yeah. So, Jay at his best, still amazing. So, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Russ.
I just love that Jay referred to himself as an athlete and then told that story. I just want to thank him for that because he's an athlete? That's amazing.
we'll debate it next week. I am an athlete of sorts.
All right. I have two more, but the one I kind of thought everybody was going to get, well, I'll end it with. But my last one that, to me, it was one of those moments of you, this is your job. You do this every day. You would think you would know the things you have to do to succeed. And one of them is if you make a catch, if you outrun everybody else, try getting into the end zone before you put the ball down to Deshaun Jackson. He kind of figured, you know what? It's okay, I'm close enough, and decided to just leave the ball about a yard short of the goal line, thus causing a fumble and causing a moment that no one will ever forget, where I think every coach the next week hammered it in. Let's try getting to the back of the end zone and then putting the ball down. Let's just see how that works. It might add up to us being a little bit better, guys.
Not the last time Deshaun Jackson's brain would leave his body for something.
Sadly not. All right. Well, before I finish it off, anybody got one more they want to put out there? Okay, Jay,
I've got one.
Yeah, Jay, go ahead.
In the glory days where we used to pump up our chests and fight Michigan State when both teams were good and relevant, Michigan fans love to go back on their history as in, well, I did this 80 years ago. How about Chris Webber calling a timeout against North Carolina? Before he did that, he actually traveled too. How about the timeout he didn't have and how that cost the national championship? Just a little salt on top at the end of the day. He did that.
How about when Mark D'Antonio said Rocky Lombardi's the starting quarterback?
Ooh. You win. Nope.
I mean, no, I don't, because that is one of the darkest moments in Michigan athletics. Yeah, history. No,
that's a tough one to get over. That is a tough one to get over.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't mean to bring the vibe down, but it happened.
Oh, yeah. That hurt.
And the last one, and this is the one I genuinely thought, and unless I made a mistake and I put this on as do not mention, I don't think I put a caveat on this last topic. And I'm amazed, because I know for a fact on this show, at least twice, Russ has brought it up. I'm kind of surprised no one had Dan Orlovsky running out of the back of the end zone.
Oh. You just talked about that. I can't talk about it again so soon.
Because that's one where, like, you have to know where you are. Like, let Jared Allen kill you or just throw it away. But
just throw it away.
Yeah, so those are some of the biggest bloopers we've seen in our time of watching sports. So before we wrap this, this didn't make it on the rundown because I didn't even find out about it today. I sent it to both of you, though. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, and is this something we could potentially be seeing in sports for the foreseeable future? Obviously, the Open Championship was canceled. They're not going to do it, but they've decided in replacement they're going to have a ultimate match of all the greats, obviously being simulated through video game. I mean, Jay, not even just for golf, but for sports in general, is this something that even remotely interests you, or is this just more of one of those, like, what's the point? It's a video game. Like, there's no, if you play a video game, there's no reason Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus shouldn't win every freaking time.
I hope this happens. I will prescribe to Michael Jordan beating the shit out of LeBron James any day of the week. Give me Gretzky going up against McDavid. Yeah, I'll watch that simulation as well. So I'm happy that golf just seems to be this pioneer sport, training and doing everything first. And God damn it, it's beautiful.
Rusty, over to you.
Well, it's super creative. I mean, I got to tip my hat to golf for coming up with this, because they're going to apparently use live film from when each of these golfers actually attacked this course, which is super cool to be able to do this. And I don't really know that any other sport can imitate that, because it has to be singularly individual for every part of it. But it's super creative. And hey, esports are a thing, and it's an industry that's constantly growing. So we have an avenue to do things like this. So that golf jumped on and is going to give a look of live sports as well. This is pretty cool. Wouldn't it burn your ass if this is the golf tournament I watch?
Yeah.
I can see it. And listen, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to put down esports. Like, I know for a fact if I walked into a arcade and tried to play Madden against some of these guys that do this for a living, I'd be lucky to get a field goal out of it, because these guys do this all the time. I don't know if it's just me being, like, you know, an old man, apparently. I have a real hard time when I'm talking about athletes saying Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Barry Sanders, Tiger Woods, Ninja. That's just not in the conversation with me.
Hey, he is a Lions fan, and we support him.
He is a Lions fan. It means he makes good decisions. But I'm just saying, he makes decisions that we have to question even more. Okay, that's fair.
You're ruining the basis of my argument of why I'm an athlete next week. Don't let you know that.
Bro, I hate to break it to you. There's not really a basis for that argument. It's unfounded. Bernie even told us. That's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Another great episode, packed full of things. Something tells me we'll be talking more about why the NFL are such cheapskates, unless your name is Patrick Mahomes. But we'll do it all again next week to the best of our abilities, which, let's be honest, isn't always the greatest. The athlete, the commissioner, the man who, if he could, just like Jim Caldwell, if he could figure out how to keep score, he'd be amazing. Justin Marcus.
Oh, I blanked out. I didn't realize you're talking about me. But yeah, I'm here. I'll do it again next week, boys.
Alrighty. And as always, Statman Russ Ivanek, if you have any slow motion videos, send him his way. That's just his thing now. Say it once, I can say it forever. You always make us sound a lot smarter than we really are.
Oh, thank you. It's a blast. And I just want to leave you with this parting thought. When Patrick Mahomes' contract is expired, the Mets will be paying Bobby Bonilla for 4 more years after that.
I thought about that the other day. It's amazing.
Happy to be here.
Jesus.
And as always, I am your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.